Thank you for being here this afternoon. Are we using a mouse or just the down arrows? Yeah, okay. I'm Nancy Vogeltan's home, and I don't have any financial or commercial relationships to disclose. Before I start, I went a little fast there. I want to thank my co-authors. Two of them are here with me today, Harpa Jansdotter and Jeffrey Holm, both at the University of North Dakota. And we had many, many collaborators and partners in this program that I'm going to talk about today, and certainly we thank them as well. What we're going to talk about today is a fruit and vegetable program that we conducted through the Center for Health Promotion and Prevention Research, which is our unit at the University of North Dakota School of Medicine. And it was part of a larger program, and so we're going to talk about that in a moment. But first, just to set the stage a little bit, everyone here understands the importance of consuming fruits and vegetables, and certainly an adequate level of fruits and vegetables. It's, I think, something that not only do you know, but most of the general public understands this as well. But I think, as one of the earlier speakers said, it's not always something that is happening. People are not eating levels of fruits and vegetables that we think that would be beneficial to them. And this is despite the fact that the federal government and other agencies responsible for public health have done a lot of work in outreach in trying to get the message out that fruits and vegetables are important for health. We know that, for example, in North Dakota, we have very low rates of people that are achieving five or more fruits or vegetables a day, and that these rates in rural states and in rural communities are even lower than the U.S. rates. I think our last 2009 rate was about 22% compared to 22% compared to 23% in the U.S. One of the ways that we have thought about improving fruit and vegetable consumption among both adults and children in the U.S. is to work within institutional settings. So schools have become a very important place in which we talk about increasing healthy choices and good nutrition for children. In work sites, we've studied less frequently and have dealt with less often than we have schools, but it's certainly becoming a more typical place that we're beginning to think about being a very good setting for health promotion programs that are going to reach a large percent of relatively healthy adults in the U.S. Fruit and vegetable programs have a moderate level of evidence for their effectiveness. There haven't been a lot of large studies, and so when I use the word moderate, it's probably more like small in terms of very strong evidence base out there. But nonetheless, there's a lot of promise about these kinds of interventions. And we know that what's important about fruit and vegetable programs or any worksite health promotion program is that they're very rooted in the social ecological model as well as the social cognitive theory, which essentially says that they're very good settings and places in which we can intervene not only at the individual level but also at these organizational and policy levels as well. So we think that they're very good places in which health promotion activities can take place. One of the things that the studies that have currently been published don't address are free fruits and vegetables at the work site. In other words, this notion of access. So there are lots of ideas about outreach and campaigns at the work site, but there's not typically been a lot of studies that have shown, well, what happens when you just deliver fruits and vegetables to the work site and make them available to employees? Does it have a short-term effect? Does it have a long-term effect? There have been some studies in Denmark, for example, that showed very good results of this, but not many in the U.S. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. So we conducted, as part of a two-year worksite health promotion program, relatively comprehensive, certainly comprehensive for two of four worksites. A subcomponent of that was a 14-week fruit and vegetable program in which fruits and vegetables were delivered to the worksite, to all four of the worksites that were part of this, these state employees that we worked with. Twice a week. So twice a week they had fruits and vegetables delivered from a local grocery store. We worked with the grocery stores to be able to bring the fruits and vegetables over, and then members of the health council and other folks that were assigned to do this would take the fruits and vegetables and do the kinds of prep that they needed to do and have them in the break rooms for employees to take. We're not going to talk today about the long-term general results of the fruit and veggie program, but it was good, I'll say that. We found that many of the fruit and vegetable behaviors, including consumption, either was maintained a year and a half later or even improved. And what's really important, because I think you may have noticed some of this from the other speakers, is that it's very difficult once you go in and start doing these kinds of programs to maintain them. And so one of the kinds of things that we did was work with these health councils to improve the environment or the institutional support for fruits and vegetables programs, as well as for general health promotion. And in three of the four work sites, these sort of policy changes related to healthier nutrition were maintained. And in fact, the cafeteria, that was the setting for this large state employee work site group, also was changed. So there were several sort of policy and environmental changes that occurred during the project that have been sustained. Not everything, but most kinds of things within those environments were sustained. So we're very happy about that. And the fruit and veggie program was probably the most popular component of the health promotion program that we did within these work sites. The employees really, really liked the fruit and veggie program, and again, two of the four sustained the fruit and veggie program with employee contributions, and the other two, one to a certain degree, continued to make that a part of what they were trying to achieve. The other worksite, it somewhat fell away. So what we're going to talk about today is an even further subset of the fruit and veggie program, which was that after this 1.5-year follow-up was conducted, we asked all of the employees that were currently living with a partner, so either married or cohabitating, if we could interview them along with their spouses, and I'm going to say spouses from this point forward because only four persons were in cohabiting relationships, the rest were married. If they would tell us about their experiences in terms of their consumption of fruits and vegetables and other behaviors and how the program might have influenced family members. And so that's the data we're about to talk about. So there were 177 of our about 320 or about 300 employees that said that they were living with a partner. And of those, 77 couples agreed to consent to the interview. We looked at least the demographics, and there were no differences between those that agreed to participate and those that didn't. In North Dakota, we have a very homogeneous population. The majority of the individuals were white. The majority of the individuals had a moderately high income, so between $50,000 and $70,000. Obviously, when we think about how these results might generalize to other settings, there's issues there that we'd need to think about. So we're, again, a very homogeneous kind of population. We conducted 62 separate interviews, or with 32 couples, and we essentially had primary raters and then a multiple rating system in which we extracted themes from this data in sort of a qualitative format or perspective, and we felt like that we had achieved saturation and were deriving new information at about the 62nd or the 32nd couple interview. The female employees were about 52% of the couples. We thought that might be higher, but interestingly, it was about even. And within the worksite population, there were 58% women. So it was interesting, and we were really happy that we got male employees participating at essentially equal levels. And importantly, it was a good incentive. Couples received $30 each for their participation. So we asked a lot of questions during the interview process, and we'll only talk about a few of those today in terms of sort of subsets or themes. And so these are the general themes. Did the worksite fruit and veggie program influence your fruit and veggie behaviors outside of work? So we were very interested in this, and we asked the employees this in the long-term follow-up, but of course this is all self-report data, which has its limitations, and so we thought if we ask the spouse, we might get some verification of whether or not that what the employees were telling us were accurate from their perspectives as well. We asked the couples what they considered to be the benefits of eating fruits and vegetables. We asked them what are the barriers, what are the kinds of things that make it more likely, or what are the positive aspects that you think would help to eat more fruits and veggies. And then, of course, we asked about their current consumption as well as a number of other questions, but those are mostly the ones we'll talk about today. So in these data analyses that I'm about to present, it's mostly qualitative data, so we really didn't have a sample size to do a lot of traditional tests of significance, although we do apply that in a couple of places because the differences were so large that it was obviously we were able to even test for significance there. So we're going to look at the differences between the couples' responses to some of these items, and then we're going to look across men and women, both within the employees and within the spouses. So in this first slide, the question boiled down to, did you increase your consumption of fruits and vegetables outside of work after participating in this program? And the interesting finding, and this is really the crux of what we want to present and talk about today, is that for women employees, their spouses seem to agree with them largely, that they did begin to eat more fruits and vegetables as a result of their female spouses' participation in this program. But when you look at the male employees, not so much. So they were saying that they benefited from this, not quite to the degree that women did, obviously, but nonetheless their spouses seemed to not be benefiting or not reporting that they benefited or were influenced by the program. And same sort of thing with vegetables. We just sort of split them in two in that way. So another thing that we looked at here to just sort of try to understand this a little bit more was, well, maybe this is because they just didn't care. Their husbands are telling them, and they're just like, well, we don't care about that. So we looked at, well, did they even know about the fruit and veggie program? And obviously that little statistic at the bottom is that the male spouses, almost all of them, had heard about this from their female, from their wives. But for the women, the spouses of the male employees, a much lower percentage had heard about it. So this is really just to sort of underscore this issue of generalizability. When you look at their currently reported levels of consumption, the group that you're seeing that seems to be or that is the lowest are the female spouses, the women spouses. Now, this could mean that they are lower because they didn't have this benefit or this influence that the male spouses of the female employees had. We certainly don't know that for sure, but we find it interesting that generally the men in not only this study but other studies have lower consumptions of fruits and vegetables than women. But here we see women spouses with the lowest. We're not exactly sure what that means, but we think it sort of underscores again potentially the lack of influence. So now I'm sort of shifting over to asking the questions or reporting about the questions about, well, what do you think are the benefits of fruits and vegetables? Almost everyone, about 92% of the employees and their spouses, said, yes, we think fruits and vegetables are beneficial to our health. But we asked them, well, what do you think are the benefits of it? And so it's kind of interesting here. We thought that men, for the most part, and this is whether you're a spouse or whether you're an employee, generally sort of thought that, well, they're good for you. They have lots of good nutritional content, that those are the more important kinds of things about eating fruits. And you'll see a similar sort of finding with vegetables. But for women, again, both the employees and spouses, this notion of it being a good substitute for high-fat or high-calorie foods was more important. We think that that has potentially the influence of women's more concern about weight management. And then same sort of thing here with vegetables. Again, we see almost everybody thinking, well, it's about health. And then for barriers, just very quickly, what we typically found was that there was certainly a fair amount of agreement that it takes too much time and it's too inconvenient to prepare or have fruits and vegetables, and that was pretty much across the board. But for what makes it easier, again, it was sort of interesting that women didn't seem to think there was much that would make it easier. And we think that's because women are the ones, preparing the fruits and vegetables. And in fact, our data shows that over 90% of the women were the ones reporting preparing the meals, doing the shopping. And so men seemed to think, well, yeah, if you sort of prepare them and put them out for me, then I'm going to eat them. Whereas women were sort of like, well, I'm not really sure what else I would do because I already have to do that myself. Two last slides, and then we'll be through here. I mean, I think that the main thing that we learn from this is that we're seeing, at least through self-report, a generalization from a very brief and very low-cost worksite fruit and vegetable program to the home. Now, this transmission seems to be mostly, or only in some senses, from female employees to their male spouses. And we think that's great and that's exciting, but we're trying to understand, well, what can we do to help that transmission from male employees to their female spouses? And so obviously one of the things that we're thinking about is the importance of bringing those, particularly women spouses, into the worksite health promotion programs to see if we can get them more involved. And we also think that in general, these are very effective and low-cost ways in order to promote health, fruits, and vegetables. Thank you.